doing anything exceptionally well requires commitment and perseverance. The result of such efforts are those things that enjoy high regard and stand the test of time. We are driven to create exceptional radio by bringing together talent, creativity, determination, preparation, and painstaking craftsmanship. Anything less would not be worth the effort. The Common Man Program starts right now.
And boom! Why should anybody aspire to be a common man, an average man? Do you realize what it means to be average? That means you're the best of the lousiest. And the lousiest of the best. Now, if we demand more and more for producing less and less, while the have-not nations encourage and inspire and indeed require hard work and maximum effort, if we deify the common men while they encourage and reward the uncommon ones, well, the end result of such a lopsided race as that is too obvious to require elaboration.
I mean, it's like, hello?
In front of Dalvin Cook, hand off Dalvin up the middle, leaps for the end zone, touchdown! Floats out to the right, passes right, caught by Jarius Rice, touchdown! Hit him to Jarius Rice, 13-3 Minnesota! He's Keenum, takes the offline snap, blitzes on, Keenum fade for Diggs, touchdown! Yes! Take that!
Super Bowl homeboy.
Minnesota is so hot.
Three, pass right, caught Diggs at the 40. Space for the 30. Evan Velos! 10-5! Touchdown! 59-yard touchdown. Keenum to Stephon Diggs. 27-3 Minnesota.
We're coming. How do you like me now? I'm back on my
feet again. Jameis Winston under center. Goes play action. Jameis on a deep drop. Shoots for DeSean Jackson. Intercepted by Trey Wayne. And he comes out of the end zone. Far side of the 5, 10 to the 15. Trey Wayne with the first Vikings takeaway this season. He picks off Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston fires over the middle. Intercepted. He threw an interception. Here's Sandejo to the 50. Andrew Sandejo taken down at the 35. Andrew Sandejo picks off Jameis Winston. And the Vikings have turned over the Buccaneers.
Duh. Winning. I'm confident that we'll be world champions. That's what I've said right from the start, and I'm still confident.
We're coming.
Out of the shotgun, facing a five-man rush, fires to the end zone, batted up in the air, intercepted by Harry the Hitman. He heads out to the left of the five and falls ahead to the 10-yard line. The Minnesota Vikings have picked off Jameis Winston three times today. Jameis back to pass, hit by Emerson, and he's thrown down. Emerson Griffin with his fourth fat sack of the season. Jameis goes down and the Bucs are punting. Jameis goes deep but side for Adam Thielen. Caught at the 20-yard line. Case Keenum to Adam Thielen on second-year corner Vernon Hargraves. It's a gain of 45 and the Vikings are in the red zone first down.
Dak, an exceptional and exquisite Monday montage from the montage master, Tenneby. However, It doesn't matter how good your montages are. And that's a great song. When it first started, I didn't recognize it. And I said into the talkback switch, I whispered in your ear, I said, Tennessee, Tennessee, what song is this? Is this new? And you said, no, we played it last year. And then when it got to the chorus, I'm back on my feet again. I thought, we did play it last year. And it is a perfect piece of montage music. Especially for a day like today after we got steamrolled last week by the Steelers and we're back on our feet again. However, that all being said, all I can think about and all I've been able to think about all weekend is ooga chaka 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 ooga chaka. It's cooking a feeling ba 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 ba. I'm high on Case Keenum ba. And the Vikings will never lose again. All I can think about is ooga chaka chaka chaka. Ooh, it's in my head and I can't get rid of it. And I don't want to. And before the week is out, maybe even before the day is out.
Sure.
Maybe even before this segment is out, we might get another version of ooga chaka 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 from LMG, a.k.a. Larry Mondello.
Is he available? Does he have time to do that?
Yeah, well, you know what? He's going to squeeze it into his busy schedule. So he's going to work on it. And because it's everybody's happy. This is a great 7-day stretch at Winter Park. If you're an employee at Winter Park, you look at the calendar and you go, this is a good 7-day stretch.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Because last week had to be miserable if you worked there, regardless of what you do for the club, right? Because you lost to Pittsburgh, Bradford's knee shot. Keenum looked just awful last week, and you're thinking and we got to go with this guy again. And then this new sleek, fancy pants Tampa Bay club's coming to town, and we're going to get destroyed. Was sort of the prevailing wisdom. Now, not necessarily here. As a matter of fact, if you heard me on the prediction segment, I thought the Vikings. I think I said the Vikings will win a close one. I didn't imagine they would double up on it, but I didn't think it was. I guess I didn't buy into the Tampa Bay hype. I guess it didn't help. They were missing, count them, 1, 2, 3, 4 starters on defense. Is that right? 4 starters, I think, missing on defense. That certainly didn't help Tampa Bay's cause. But guess what? That's not our fault. They don't have a really great certified athletic trainer that can have their players ready to play on Sunday.
Or get better depth.
Yeah, get more depth.
We played our backup quarterback.
Yeah, and whose fault is that? That's not our fault. We didn't put Tampa Bay's roster together. We didn't put Tampa Bay certified athletic trainer on the payroll. And it's not our fault. And will Keenum be offensive player of the week? My guess is there was other great offensive performances. When Bradford won NFC Offensive Player of the Week, week one, it was, I don't think there was another performance to match it. I don't think there was anything even close, so it was a no-brainer. Do you think Case gets it, or do you think it's Case
like
close?
An NFC?
Because I think they do NFC, AFC, don't they?
I mean, Rodgers had a nice game with the comeback.
Yeah.
Against Cincinnati.
Will his numbers match our guys?
Rodgers was 28 of 42 for a touchdown and 313.
No.
Our guy threw 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, plus he threw a pick 6. Rodgers.
Yeah, you're
and
right.
Here's my guess. I did not see the Green Bay game. I guarantee you there were 2 or 3 calls that were questionable that went in Green Bay's favor to get him back in that game. It was 21-7 last
I
checked.
I will say Case Keenum does have competition for this award on his own team.
Steph Diggs. Steph was big. Cook and A. Thielen. I'm high on believing.
Yeah.
They both had.
Delvin had a great game.
Yeah, Delvin. Delvin I saw after 3 games. Are we going to do this every week now? Every week we're going to see, they're going to compare Delvin Cook's first game as a pro to Adrian Peterson's first game as a pro. Then the second day.
Yeah.
Now we've gone 3 weeks, and apparently the productivity of Delvin Cook has been better than Adrian Peterson's first 3 games. So we're going to do that every week now.
Now, I hate to defend Adrian. You know me. I don't like to defend him.
Right.
But he was also in a timeshare his rookie year. He had Chester Taylor, who was a pretty good running back himself.
Out
of the gate. So he wasn't getting the volume of carries and touches
that
Dalvin Cook is.
Chester Taylor will run for 160 yards and score 3 touchdowns. Remember that, Nostradamus?
Brilliant.
How good was that? Yeah, that's right. It was a timeshare. You're right.
Yeah. Other competition, you got Kirk Cousins went 25 of 30 for 365 yards and three touchdowns.
Against, you like that?
Against Oklahoma.
You
last
like
night.
That? I think he liked it. Don't you?
You like that? You like that?
Yeah, they like carved up.
How do you like it now?
You know, I do think, by the way, we'll get into this later, but I do think Houston made the right decision in parting ways with Derek Carr. The old man just ain't what he used to be. He was not good last night.
No.
He did not look good at all. But so there's competition. So I don't know if they'll give it to Case, but it sure would be. I would describe it. If he wins NFC Offensive Player of the Week, I would use a two-syllable word to describe it. Sowie.
So, you see the headline in the Star Tribune today?
Yeah, they use Case closed. Absolutely. And it was Case closed. I still might
I
have liked.
I love that one.
We rest our case, but then who would we be, right?
Sure.
So I guess Case closed. Was best. He was very good. He was very good. Dalvin was very good. Diggs, A. Thielen. Who's our other running? Megaqua. Did he play? Does he play?
He had one catch for like 3 yards.
He did good for him. Offensive line was very good. Tight
they
end.
Were bad.
Tight end didn't make much of a contribution.
He disappeared a little bit.
He disappeared, but
well,
didn't
when your
need
receivers
him.
Are wide
right.
open every single
That's
time,
it. You just, don't need him.
Sorry.
That's it. You don't need him. Even the Jet had a player too, right? CJ Ham had a player. Is it CJ?
He had a nice catch out of
yeah.
the back then.
Ham had a
juke.
Player too. It was a terrific all around game. Defensively, I thought they were solid. They got some turnovers on the board. It's hard to argue with the results from yesterday's game. And with Keenum, we talked about this, and it was Rit Rat wrote about either Saturday or Sunday in one of the fish wraps where he did the old, I like proving people wrong. A lot, and most people, I think, most people that are competitive have that trait in them.
Sure.
I personally don't care what people think. That really doesn't motivate me, but it does other people. There are people that, oh, so you think I'm a terrible quarterback with a terrible arm and a terrible team with terrible athleticism and terrible this, terrible that. And then you see what he does. He comes out and looks, he looked terrific. And you know, I downplayed the idea that he has Tampa Bay's number. Maybe that's it. Because apparently anytime he plays Tampa Bay, he puts up NFC Offensive Player of the Week type numbers. He's done it twice before. He does it again. And I must admit, I'm a roll my eyes, shrug my shoulders, and shake my head kind of a guy when I hear the old, we knew he was going to be the starter from the first day in practice, and so we made a game plan for him, and you know, and I'm like, okay. But, and I don't know if that did have anything to do with it, but it was night and day difference in his performance. Night and day. He was, and again, there are always extenuating circumstances. It's not a... The quarterback doesn't play alone. It's not like tennis. It's not like golf. It's a sport in which you have to rely on 10 other guys.
Of course.
And an offensive coordinator and a head coach and everything else. But it was a night and day difference between what he looked skittish. He looked, I don't want to say unprepared. He just didn't look the part of starting quarterback.
Yeah.
Against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
But the variables you mentioned changed as well.
That's it.
Yeah.
But look how much better he was. And again, this game was at home, et cetera, and he did have more time to prepare, and he was very good. Now, makes it interesting. I don't know. Have we heard from Dr. Job yet? Do we know? Or is it Dr. Andrews? Have we heard yet?
Well, apparently it confirmed what the second opinion confirmed what the first opinion did. That it's just a bone bruise.
Have we heard from Sam? How does he feel? Do you think all of a sudden
his knee...
he's
going to be healthy this week.
Do you think his knee might feel real good this year?
This week?
This week or not?
I'm guessing it will.
Well, we'll get into that. There's plenty to get into today. Don't forget Mark Rosen at 1. He's always in at 1 on Viking Mondays because anytime the Vikings play on a Sunday because Vikings coach Mike Zimmer does his news conference at 2. Rosen shifts to 1. No 5-3-4. And then Zim at 2. All of that and more. On the Common Man program on the Fan.
The Common Man.
I feel a lot of solid energy coming out of you. Good positive aura. Great. Great. It's all great.
Weekdays at noon on the Fan.
The Fan.
Programming on the Fan today is brought to you by Prism Research.
The Sitek. The Sitek. Yeah, catch. Yada. Yada. Box in a box. Couple 13-14 pass. Two giveaways today. Don't call now. Later, we'll give away a pair of tickets to see Ahmad Rashad get inducted into the Vikings Ring of Honor at the Purple Jacket Ceremony. That's this Friday at U.S. Bank Stadium. Also, we're giving away a $50 gift card to Golf Galaxy. Join the Fan as we celebrate the grand opening of the new Golf Galaxy in Richfield at the Shops of Lindale. I'll be there. The official, unofficial, this is big. If you're, the official, unofficial ambassador of Minnesota Golf will be there Friday and Saturday. Golf Galaxy will have great giveaways, new product demoing, and much more, only while supplies last. And I'll be there Friday 4 to 6 and Saturday noon to 2.
Nice.
It should be fun. I'm looking forward to it as well.
It's probably the store I shop at the most. In terms of any kinds of shopping.
You want to stop by and visit me and verbally slap me on the back both Friday and Saturday? You're sure welcome, Tenneby. Would love to have you.
We'll be back tomorrow. I can promise you
that's really not the one I wanted. I won't be back tomorrow. I'll say that Friday.
Hopefully.
When I leave a Golf Galaxy, I'll say I'll be back tomorrow. I can promise you that because I will be. No, I wanted to do this. I'm getting a number of emails like this. I got them at home. And I've also received a number of them here at booth at KFAN.com. Common, the Lions got totally screwed by the officials again. The ball was across the goal line before his knees were down. I'm a Vikings fan, but to be fair, the Kitties should totally be 3-0. Your thoughts, Ryan, from the tough guy town of Coon Rapids. I didn't think they got screwed by the officials. I'd like to say that they did. It's always fun to be able to blame the officials. Is there anything better? Viking fans have made a living at it forever. Right, it's always the officials. Most hardcore fans find it difficult to lay the blame squarely at the feet of their club. There has to be something else. And oftentimes it's umpires or officials. They got it in for us. They're against us. I don't know why, but they always seem to make the wrong call, the bad call against our club. It was a delicious loss. I mean, would I have preferred the win? Oh, what a comeback. It was another, this is getting to be a habit with the Kitties. 8 times last year, they trailed going into the fourth quarter to win football games. And then they started on week one. They were down 17-15 going into the fourth quarter against the Cardinals at Litterbox Burrow. And they won. They were on the road against the Giants, didn't need to come back. They dominated the Giants. For the entire game. And the Lions never led. They led momentarily, kind of, not officially, because they put the points up on the scoreboard. You know, when you first score, even before they review it, they threw it up there. So the Lions had, but the Lions, it was going to be a game in which they never led until 8 seconds to go. Tate didn't get across. I'd like to tell you, I think he was across the goal line. It was very close. I thought it might be one of those where they go, it's so close, we can't overturn it. Because it was ruled touchdown on the field. What surprised me is, I told you this, I think, on the phone during our extensive prep work for the show.
I always love that one.
I think I've heard of the 10-second run. I know I have, but I didn't know how the 10-second runoff applied. I'd never paid close enough attention. But that's the right call, whether you agree with it or not. Because if they rule it correctly before the review, it would have been stopped at the 1-inch line. The Lions would have to scramble to get into play, and that was third down.
Yeah.
So they couldn't spike. They'd have had to have pulled a play off. Only fair that you can't say, well, the refs blew the call, they got it wrong, and they stopped the clock, so I guess the Lions get 8 seconds. You don't. If they would have had a timeout left, I don't even think that matters.
No, that would matter.
Oh, that
they would have
been
able to use the timeout, yes.
Okay. They would have been able to use the timeout.
Yes.
But
they had used
their timeouts. And I think they used them properly. They used them to stop the clock before the 2-minute warning to make sure they had plenty of time. Atlanta had the ball. Detroit was trying to, you know, conserve time and force them to punt, which they did, got the ball and scored.
Now, if you want to go with the refs job the Lions argument.
Mm-hmm.
I could also say the only reason they were put in that situation to begin with, I thought was a very sketchy call by the officials. When was it 2nd and 30 or 3rd and 30?
Yes.
And they called a defensive holding, which is an automatic first down.
Yeah.
I'm not too sure that was holding. And given it was 30 yards to go, that's a tough call for an official to make.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean it's officially over for Detroit, but that would have made it much more difficult.
I couldn't agree with you more. There were half a dozen penalties in that last drive on both clubs. It was sloppy. I at the end of that, once they announced that the Falcons had won, I said, well, there's that. That's what I looked at Deuce and said. I said, well, there's that. And that was that. But it's nice to add that the Lions have not lost in that manner before, and it's just another great way it's just another great addition to my.
I always love that one.
So many. I mean, there's the Calvin
Megatron.
The Megatron
against Chicago.
Against Chicago was a terrific one. There was a Thanksgiving Day one in which the Lions tied it and sent it to overtime, and then kicked off to the Bears. And the Bears returned it 100 yards for a touchdown. That was delicious too.
You've got to be kidding
me. There are almost too many. Was it
last year or 2 years ago when Rodgers threw the Hail Mary?
Yes.
And the play before the Hail Mary
was incomplete, but there was a penalty.
There was
a face mask,
and the game was over.
The game was over. and he just brushed it. He did touch his face mask. Yeah. He did touch it.
Yeah.
And then they got another crack at it. Yeah, absolutely. So that was a game that
they
won.
But there was no reason to touch his face mask. I mean, Rodgers had no play to make.
No play to make. Another great one was against the Vikings. The Lions had an extra point at Metrodome to tie it 28-28, and he missed the extra point, and they lost 28-27.
I always love that one.
There are so many games
left. So what about the one at Seattle, where I think it might have been Megatron again, fumbled at like the one-yard line?
Yes, that's exactly right.
And the guy
for
Seattle batted the ball out of the end zone, which apparently is illegal.
I forgot about that. We got screwed by the officials on that one. And then there was the game against Dallas, the playoff game.
Yes,
where the Lions were marching down. No guarantee they would score, but they're marching down the field.
They have the lead.
And did they have the lead where they were trying to get the lead? I don't recall. But
are you talking about the pass interference one that should have been a pass interference?
Yeah, they picked the flag back up.
Yeah.
They picked it. Well, we really don't think there was. And I said, well, you can't do that, but they did. So, there are others that were. I remember a wild card playoff game against Green Bay where Detroit had got some momentum, and then Favre, I think it was Favre, hit Sterling Sharp with like a 80-yard bomb. Oh, I've seen so many. And that just adds another one to it. And, you know, would you rather they win? Yeah, but I don't care enough anymore. As a matter of fact, I was talking to Big Ticket about this. Remember when I talked about Cub fans, what's that old saying where you say be careful what you hope for or wish for? Because now the Cubs can never do the woe is us, we're cursed, we can't win again, wait till next year. They can't do that anymore. Never. Ever. It's over. For me, so I don't know. I think if the Lions got to the Super Bowl, I'd be rooting against them. Because I'd rather they don't win at all. Because once they win at all, then I've got nothing left. It's the only team I even have.
Who's more cursed, Detroit or Minnesota?
Well, I don't know if there's a curse. I don't know if I believe in curses, but I mean, you could say the Lions, at least, they weren't called Super Bowls back then, but they've won. When the season ended 4 times, they were the last team standing. 4 times.
Sure.
Last time was 57. The Vikings, even though they won the last so-called NFL championship, because they won the NFL championship, then lost in the Super Bowl. That was the last time they had what they called an NFL championship. But they didn't end the season the last team standing.
Yeah.
So you could say the Vikings, because they've never ended the season as the last team.
Because it's two different kinds of history, right? I mean, Detroit's just been completely inept, can't get to the playoffs, can't win the playoffs.
Yes.
Finds the worst ways to lose.
Yes.
Whereas Minnesota gets to the big stage and then falls apart.
0-4 in the Super Bowl, and then in those NFC...
The way they lost the NFC Championship
game. Yeah, they've had, is it 4 losses in those NFC Championship games? There was 2000, 98, 2000, 09... Is that those three?
Is there one?
There seems like there was another one somewhere, too.
Is there like 88, 89, something like that?
Yes, that's right, 87.
87,
where they lost to Washington when Darren Nelson couldn't hang on to the ball at the goal line. So they've had 4 NFC championship.
And then you have like Blair Walsh, wide left.
So, right. So you have all sorts of things there. So both teams have had their fair share of trouble. Should be a good game Sunday. Deuce and I will be there. It's the one game I do go to. If it was up to me, we wouldn't, but Deuce wants to go. So a faith. Family fairways football frequency. So I'll be taking Deuce to the game. And I'm still very the Lions are still a good football team. They're fun to watch. I think they're a better team than Atlanta. Sorry, they lost. That's fine. I like our chances if we play them again. Love it. Bring it.
Now, speaking of your Lions game, this might be a new argument towards your team might have gotten jobbed out of the game.
Oh.
Just saw a tweet from Will Brinson, who apparently is a senior NFL writer for CBS Sports.
Okay. It's a Brinson bomb?
It's a Brinson bomb. I don't know if he photoshopped this or someone photoshopped it and sent it to him, but they're showing a picture of Golden Tate with his knee down.
Yeah.
And there's 11 seconds on the clock. Which, if you do the 10-second runoff, they would still get another play.
Oh, well, we did get screwed. You know, a lot of times people blame officials and they're wrong, but in this case, we got screwed by the Zebras.
Nuts and bolts, we got screwed.
And it's always the kiddies. And no other team gets screwed as bad as Detroit does. Do you remember the Megatron game?
Yeah.
Do you remember the Dallas game?
Yeah.
Do you remember the Seattle game?
Yes.
Do you remember those games? It only had, what does the league have again? I can't tell you how upset I am. This is infuriating. We should be 3-0, undefeated. We should right now be ESPN. We should have the best odds. We should, in the power rankings, we should be the best team in pro football.
You've got to be kidding me.
It's a travesty is what it is, and I'm not going to take it any.
Programming on the Fan today is brought to you by Prism Research. Join the Common Man at the grand opening of the new Golf Galaxy at the Shops of Lyndale this Friday and Saturday with great giveaways, store specials, and more. Details at KFAN.com, keyword events.
Let's go. Couple 13, 14 pass, Common Men program. Common Men program. A 13, 14 pass. Email booths, KFAN.com. This one says, comment your thoughts on Barney the Purple Dinosaur. He says the horseshoe's been removed from the Lions' butts. They'll not be getting any luck like last year, so no playoffs. I don't know. The purveyor gets a little whiny and a little pouty when his team doesn't play well. He gets very, he's a guy that lives and dies by how his local team does. He's one of those sports guys.
Yeah.
He's an extended family member. And when other teams in the North do well, it's always because they're lucky. There's nothing lucky about what the Lions did last year. They found a way to win football games. Matter of fact,
it's, or the first 2 weeks this year.
Yeah, I don't call it lucky. I call it plucky. He's just leaves the P off the first. That's called plucky, not lucky. They're a team that the proverbial, use whatever cliche you want. They never quit. Backs against the wall, gut check time. I think PA deep down, if you said, would you like to have Matt Stafford as your quarterback? He would kill to have Matt Stafford as his quarterback. Matt Stafford's a gamer. And this is coming from a guy that didn't like him. I didn't have the patience. I saw Joey Harrington when I saw Matt Stafford play football. First 3, 4, 5 years. And now, should he be the highest paid player in pro football? Well, probably not. But that's just the way it works when the next, you know, franchise type quarterback that his contract expires and it comes time to renew, he'll become the highest paid player in pro football. So I'll take lucky all the time. If you want to call what the Lions have been doing lucky, I love it. I love it. And I don't think it'll be that way. As a matter of fact, I think it should be a very good game Sunday. I think it's one of those too close to call games. I guess the Vikings will get the nod because they're at home. Matter of fact, I bet the odds makers right now of the Vikings 2 points, 3 point favorites. Do you see? Do we have any numbers yet? I can't see where it'd be more than three, but maybe 3.5.
Don't know if Bradford's uncertainty would change anything. Yeah, as of right now, it's off.
It's off.
They always do that when they don't know a quarterback.
Okay, so we'll just have to and wait and see how that goes. But it should be a very good game. I think I'm telling you, I really do believe there is something about having the right GM to make those decisions. And they got the guy that worked with New England since 2000. 17 years he learned. I'm just delighted with the job that Bobby Quinn has done. Matter of fact, if I was in Detroit, my montage music would be, have you heard of the song The Mighty Quinn?
I have not.
Oh, dig it up right now.
Who's it by?
I don't remember. I think it might be by Manfred Mann's Earth Band. I don't know.
Oh, it's in the system.
Yeah. Have you heard this? Listen up.
As of right now, no. Oh, yeah.
The Detroit Lions have Bobby Quinn. The Lions will always win with Bobby Quinn. That's the montage we would have worked today.
That's nice.
It's really it's a great montage.
Larry Mondello guy would be singing off key with a parody song of that.
It would be lovely. So the is anybody else confirming the 11 ticks left on the clock? They would have ran off 10. That would have given the Lions fourth and goal. One last play. Yeah. They would have had with one tick on the clock from the 1 inch. Yeah, they may have scored. When there was 19 seconds left, I was screaming at the TV, quarterback draw, quarterback. They were first and goal from wherever they were, you know, 1 or 2 yard line with 19 seconds left. I wanted quarter. Now, I know that's dangerous with no timeouts.
That's it's very dangerous. Really,
but I love the call because it was set up for it, too. No one plugging up the middle. Just have him take 2 steps back and then go straight forward, put your head down. He's a tough guy, too. But I suppose if they would have not made it, I'd have been bitter. But I'd
rather do that on fourth down if you throw an incompletion. I would have thrown the ball into the end zone to give yourself a chance at two plays as opposed to one.
But odd is what it is. So as we stand now, it's 2-1, 2-1.
By the way, you need to hear the end of the Detroit call.
Is it good?
Of that final play.
Okay, let's go ahead and hear it.
Well, let me get to it quick.
So right now the NFC North is 2-1, 2-1, 2-1. And the Bears, surprisingly, beating the Pittsburgh Steelers. Big Ticket told me that the Bears, it was embarrassing what the organization did. They went out on their Twitter account, I think he said, and they showed the picture of all the football analysts, I think on Fox, picking Pittsburgh to win and making fun of them. It's like Burrow said, well, let's see, you've lost 36 of your last 50 games. You're 0-2 this year.
You've got to be kidding me.
And you're going to make fun of people for not picking you to win? So... But yeah, so they go
get
to 1-2.
Get back to 500 and get back to us.
So they're 1-2. So it's a logjam. It's Thursday night, Chicago at Green Bay. My guess is Green Bay wins. Though I thought they'd beat Cincinnati, and they did, but I never thought. I mean, Cincinnati just fired their offensive coordinator. They hadn't scored a touchdown yet, had they?
No.
I thought there was zero chance they would be in the game. I mean, I never dreamt they would win, right? But I never thought they'd even be in the game, and they sent it to overtime.
And they had every chance to win.
I've heard. Yeah, they've had every chance to win. So, but I still think Green Bay wins. I think Green Bay will go to 3-1. So then Sunday it'll be whoever wins will be keeping pace with Green Bay. Yeah, with Green Bay. And when do we play Green Bay? We being the Vikings.
Well, our next three games are against division opponents.
So it's Detroit, Chicago, Green Bay, or Detroit, Green Bay,
Detroit Chicago? At home, then at Chicago, then home to Green Bay.
Ooh.
So it's kind of a crucial three-game stretch
this
here.
This is very interesting. This gets very good. And again, nothing. Hopefully, we'll find out. I don't think we'll find out anything from Zim, will we? About Bradford's situation at 2 o'clock? I doubt it, right? Do you think at 2 o'clock?
I mean, he's going to be asked about it.
Right. My guess is, my question is, I'm just asking you, what does your gut tell you? Will he have something for us, or will he do the crystal ball thing again?
Well, he's going to be asked about the second opinion because there were reports about the second opinion. So I think he might be forthright with that and honest, but then just. You know, I don't have a crystal ball.
Yeah. And do you think
we won't have anything definitive if that's what you're trying to
get? Okay, let me ask you this. Let's say Bradford says, I can go. Do you go with Keenum or do you go back to Bradford?
If Bradford's 100% healthy, I go Sam Bradford. Now, if he's still ailing or aching, then I think Kay showed us that.
Let's say Bradford says, I'm ready to go. You go with Bradford?
I go Bradford, yeah.
I go Keenum. You know why? Cooking a feeling, ba 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 ba. I'm high on Case Keenum, ba 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 ba. I'm high on Case Keenum. I'm a hot hand guy. I go with the hot hand.
How about the hot knee?
Well, see, and that's the other thing I worry about. I go with the hot hand. I start Keenum this week, regardless of Bradford's situation. Now, so you have the call from the Lions radio network.
Now, it is lengthy because they go through the review, but you have to wait till the very last second of the call because there is a payoff here.
Okay.
Okay? This is Lions Radio 760 WJR in Detroit.
Great for you.
It'll be third and goal from the one. 12 seconds to go.
Ebron coming back in
That's
the ball.
That's Photoshop, man.
Will they try that matchup again?
There's no way there was 11 left.
Two plays left for the Lions.
Yeah.
12 seconds left.
See, 12 seconds.
But you're at the point now where you got to get it in the end zone.
You can't get tackled short of the end zone here. You can't stop the clock again.
They called it.
Third and goal from the one. Stafford works out of the gun. Three receivers left, one right. Matthew takes the snap, looks left, throws, end zone, caught, touchdown to Cornwell.
I'm off the couch. Deuce and I are off the couch, and we're like, I can't believe it.
They've done it again. 8 seconds left, and they're on top.
And Deuce and I are going wars from the score.
These guys are unbelievable.
This is me at home. I wish you could
89
see it.
Yards in 11 plays, and with 8 seconds to go.
I'm giddy.
Golden Tate's got the football in his hands, and that's a touchdown football right there.
The Detroit Lions.
And Stafford, again, a perfect throw.
Perfect.
It was low. It was right on the goal line. The only guy that can get it is his guy. And it's Golden Tate.
Just short of the goal line, sir.
Yeah.
Right above the goal line, and then just rolls into the end zone for the 6 points.
Every scoring player is reviewed.
Golden's knee is down. He's got to make sure that there's nobody touching him.
He hasn't been touched yet.
Oh, yeah. See, Homer.
They're looking at this one.
What is it, Pete Versich on the call?
Trying to make sure it's a touchdown. As he catches it, his knee is down.
Uh-oh.
Again, he's just short of the goal line. Just making sure that he wasn't touched.
If he hasn't been touched, he can get into the end. He can crawl in there.
They're going to review it. They're going to look at it.
After reviewing the play, the ruling on the field has changed. The runner was touched down at the half a yard line. He was short of the goal line. By rule, we would go back to a running clock, and we have a 10-second runoff. So by rule, the game is over.
Ooh.
Well, there's that.
He pulled the dark star. Look.
Well, there's that.
What is that? Just said a little bit differently. Play that one again. Dark says it differently. It's well then listen.
Well, there's that.
What is that? Dark doesn't pause. He just goes, well, there's that.
Well, there's that.
What is that? Well, there's that. And you know what? I'm not making this up.
Perfect response.
I looked at Deuce after they announced it, and I said, well, there's that. That's what I said. Well, there's that.
Well, there's that.
And there was that. What I found amusing was when the Fox team, Terry, Howie, Michael, and Jimmy were talking about it, one of them said, it was courageous for the crew to make that call.
Courageous?
Courageous. It's the right call to make. What did they think that people were going to, did they think they're going to get murdered on the way out of the stadium? I know it's Detroit. I know it's a tough guy town, but
isn't soccer in South America.
Yeah, right. You make the call. The call's what it is. You don't have to be courageous to make, boy, it's courageous to make that call in Detroit. Well, you have to make it. That's the call. You can't go, you know what? I'm worried about you're not going to get killed. I know it's a tough guy town. I was born there. But, God, I love that. Well, there's that. That was very good.
I always love that.
We'll see what Mark Rosen has to say. He joins us. I'm sure he's got plenty to say about the soon-to-be Super Bowl champion Minnesota Vikings. We got to get to the Twins. They're in, right? I mean, it would take a monumental collapse.
It would take a Detroit Lions-type collapse.
And the beauty is that they have a Detroit team on their schedule, and that's the beauty of it, because it's loser-proof now for the Twins. The Lynx... I was a bit surprised. And your Wild loss, but nonetheless, all they do is generally
win. They had their B-team out there.
Yeah, they had their B-team out there. So plenty to get to with Mark Rosen when we return to the Common Man program here on The Fan.
Mark Rosen joins the Common Man next.
Give her drugs!
On The Fan.
Vikings won yesterday. That means today at PapaJohns.com. Put in the online promo code VIKES50. You'll get 50% off your entire order.
Yeah, you can be the greatest, you can be the best. You can be the King Kong banging on your chest. You can beat the world, you can beat the war. You can talk the guy, go banging on his door. You can throw your hands up, you can beat the clock. You can move a mountain, you can break rocks. You can be a master, don't wait for luck. Dedicate yourself and you can find yourself. Standing in the Hall of Fame.
He's Mark Rosen of Channel 4 Sports. Sports, sports. Is your whole life just sports fame? Welcome to the Grum. You're here an hour. Don't want people to get confused.
I get confused. That's why I was almost running late because
right.
I honestly
right now, the listeners are probably confused. They're thinking, well, wait, now I'm hearing the Hall of Fame intro. It means Mark Rosen. It must be 2 o'clock.
Right,
no.
Right.
On Mondays, we change it. Right now, people are panicking all over. People,
oh, I'm sure.
Oh, my gosh. I'm an hour late. They think they have an appointment. They have a 2 o'clock appointment.
Correct.
They suddenly think it's 2 o'clock and they're behind. No. It's on Mondays. Zimmer likes to do his news conference at 2 o'clock when he has a noon Sunday game.
Correct.
And so Mark Rosen, who generally starts at 2 o'clock, moves to 1 o'clock. And then we have Zim. And then tomorrow, it's even more confusing. People are going to tune in at noon, and they're going to hear, they're going to go, what happened to comedy?
Where's Common?
It's now, they're now going to think it's a brand new show at noon, hosted by you. And
get a pie for it.
And
Mike Grimm.
And it's like, no, it's not. It's just so people would be. But just to let people know, it's time for Mark Rosen, and it is. Just a minute or two.
Tomorrow's the PJ Fleck show.
1 o'clock, and tomorrow's the PJ Fleck show.
Yeah, at noon.
You doubted this Vikings team, and I guess I did too, though I did pick them to win in the prediction segment with Barrero when we were on the pregame show. I thought they'd win a close game, and I thought they would need, they did get a healthy dose of Cook.
Mm-hmm,
I kind of said, Keenum's just got to make enough plays, and you know, we got to have a lot of Dalvin Cook, and I think the Vikings can win a close one. They got a lot of Dalvin Cook, but they got a lot of Case Keenum, too. He was night and day different yesterday from when he was against Pittsburgh.
Well, everything was. And I think the key, as Keenum talked about after the game, Tampa Bay won the toss, deferred for the second half, so the Vikings got the opening kickoff. And 7 plays, 75 yards. And Keenum talked about that key play, that 45-yard pass to Thielen, which really was the signal of a lot more to come with the deep throws that they had yesterday. I mean, it's been an aerial circus for this Vikings team, discounting, you know, obviously the Pittsburgh game or a lot of aspects of it. I think for the first 3 games, which included a shredding of the Saints defense in game 1, it's been a long time since the Vikings have thrown for this many yards in 3 games for the first 3 games. People keep those stats. But, you know, that was the key thing. They got the early lead. Tampa Bay came back. You know, they came right down the field, went all the way to the Vikings' 22-yard line. Winston was having success. He was kind of chewing up the middle of the field. And
Winston is good, like a quarterback should.
Yeah. He's got talent. Kicked a 40-yard field goal, so 7-3, game on, Vikings punt. And you're kind of going back and forth, so it's very much anyone's game. But then, you know, the Vikings, they just started really opening up the lanes. And Tampa Bay's secondary was not very good. The Vikings knew it going in, and the protection was there. That's the thing. Whether it's, it doesn't matter who the quarterback is. These guys are pretty good when they get time to throw the ball. And he had plenty of time to throw the ball, and Thielen made some great catches. Obviously, Stephon Diggs made some wonderful moves and catches. And then Dalvin Cook got rolling. When the Vikings get that lead, and I don't care who the quarterback is, it's really difficult. The Vikings defense is so sound overall that, you know, now you're waiting for the turnover, which they hadn't had in the first couple games, and then they started coming. They got the 3 interceptions, and Winston was under more pressure, and the Vikings were able to use the running attack. So it's just a great formula for success, especially against Tampa yesterday. And Zimmer was not bashful. He rarely gives out game balls, and he gave one right away to Case Keenum, and well-deserved. I mean, he was really in control, and the level of confidence you could see on the field was striking. He's had success against Tampa before with other teams, but not here, not at U.S. Bank, under these circumstances. I think after the Pittsburgh game a week ago, sky is falling. We don't know if Bradford's going to be out a week, 6 weeks. How are you going to win with a backup quarterback for any sustained length of time? And you can still ask that question. That's still a legitimate question to ask. But I think Case Keenum yesterday made a strong case for himself that he's more than just an average backup, at least for one game yesterday. He looked
awfully
good.
If Bradford's ready to go, if he declares himself ready to go Sunday, do you go with Bradford or Keenum?
Oh, you go with Bradford.
Oh, yeah, I think you go with Keenum. You go with the hot hand.
Well,
Keenum was brilliant yesterday.
He was brilliant. No, I'm not disputing that. But I mean, the key thing what you said is if he's 100%, if there's any chance that he's not going to be as effective mobility wise or pain threshold wise, then you don't play him. You just don't. Even though this is, you know, I was talking about the Pete Versich last night. And I talked about before the Pittsburgh game. I mean, you know, look, at the Pittsburgh game, you don't want to be 2-0. Yeah, I get it. Remember, I said, look, it's not that big of a deal in the long run. These are the games that really matter, the next three in particular. The Vikings went 0-2 against the Kitties last year. That was the difference. And you got to beat Detroit. Really, you got to beat Detroit twice. You want to win the division, you got to beat them twice. Split with Green Bay and beat the Bears twice. I mean, that's just the formula for winning a division. And it starts Sunday. I mean, the Vikings got a break, honestly. I heard you play the play-by-play of the Lions end of the game. I'm watching it in the press room with Lester Bagley yesterday, waiting for Zimmer to appear at the news conference. They got it on the monitor, and I'm looking at him going, wow, the Lions did it again. They just pulled the game out in the last second. He scored much the way I thought Dalvin Cook scored the week before. And then, you know, all of a sudden, the audio wasn't up, so I had no idea what was going on. Why is everybody shaking hands and walking off the field? And the score hasn't changed. I had no idea the Lions had lost based on just looking at the monitor. So the Vikings did get a break. And, you know, again, they'd have to beat Detroit either way. But it sets up for a very good matchup. I agree. The Lions are...
Let me guess, you're picking the Vikings.
I'm not picking anybody right now. It's Monday. And I like your quarterback. He's really matured, and they got a lot of weapons. And they have a can-do kind of attitude, and especially in the fourth quarter. They did it again yesterday against a really good Atlanta team. So they're not going anywhere. They're going to be around all year, as they say. They're a very good team.
The Roar? They've been restored.
Well, it's kind of been restored. Yeah, it has. I mean, see how they recover. I mean, I don't think they're going to.
No.
It's not going to be a carryover effect. It was frustrating to lose the game the way they did, but to be in a position to win it the way they did is really encouraging again for that team.
They didn't win it, but they won it. They know that they
went
down the field and scored.
Exactly. No, you're right.
From it.
I don't
quarter
disagree.
Inch, that's all right. They don't think like, boy, we just got manhandled by Atlanta.
No, not at all. Not in the least.
Atlanta easily, they're not. That's the beauty of the NFL. It can come down to a play. Atlanta easily could be 1-2. They could have lost yesterday.
The Bears game.
And the Bears had them.
Yeah.
The Bears should have won that game.
As lousy as the Bears are and have
they're
been.
They're not that
bad. They could be 2-1 right now.
I know.
And Pittsburgh, it's just the way the NFL works. I mean, you go, how do you figure this stuff out?
The Bears aren't out of the NFC North picture at all.
No.
They're not out of it.
Well, no, they got a big game at Green Bay, and this is where, you know, I point fingers at the league, and you wonder why, for the most part, although last Thursday night, I saw some of them, very little of it. It was a very highly entertaining game that people really weren't maybe paying attention to between, was it the Rams and the 49ers? A 41-38 game, but the quality of play on Thursday nights has not been good because of the lack of preparation, guys recovering from injuries, and I think you could see some of that. The Packers were playing in the heat. So were the Bears yesterday. Who knows what kind of toll they took on their players, and they got to really ratchet it up in a hurry to get ready to play on Lambeau on Thursday night. And we'll see what kind of game we have, but those are usually, I wouldn't think the Packers are going to run all over them. I just think the Bears will give them a pretty good little tussle. But what do I know?
The two wideouts for the Purple were very good.
Oh,
Diggs had a spectacular game. Thielen was rock solid again.
Well,
these guys find a way. It was funny. Diggs dropped. Was it the first pass thrown to him? He had it in his
hands.
One
of the first ones, yeah.
And then like you're thinking to yourself, is he going to be one of those guys now that turns into Troy Williamson and can't?
Oh, because, God, I hope no one was thinking that.
He had a couple of other drops. What was it, the preseason?
Yeah, the preseason he had a couple, but preseason.
And well, no, don't just write it off as preseason. What, he doesn't try to catch the ball?
Well, of course.
Preseason.
I mean, it's not the same.
I know, but...
He's made some really tough catches.
I know,
though.
But I'm just saying you watch him drop one and you're saying, is this not
everybody
becoming it? So you didn't think, you never had a doubt. Let me guess, you never doubted Diggs.
No, every receiver drops the ball. Everyone, even Megatron did.
I forgot, you're a Hall of Famer.
Every great receiver has dropped the ball. Jerry Rice dropped a few, I think, in his time.
So now you're comparing him to Jerry Rice.
No.
I know you're trying to defend the guy, but all I know is I'm watching, and he drops another one right in his hand saying, is he going to be one of these guys that drops key passes at key situations throughout his career?
Well, if he didn't catch the ones that
were... But the rest of the game, he never missed a throw.
Well, and it's going to be interesting, and I think... keep in mind, Michael Floyd's coming back for the Bears game. And Floyd had a good preseason, and they like him a lot, especially red zone. And how are they going to utilize Michael Floyd after the Lions game, getting ready for the Bears game. You can, obviously, Diggs and Thielen aren't going to play. Jarius Wright has been used in crucial situations. Treadwell, again, one catch for 2 yards. He's out there blocking a little bit. I got to believe that Floyd will take over his playing time. I don't see it any other way. And how much time Floyd will see the field is, you know, remains to be seen under Shermer's offense. But they have a pretty good set of skilled people right now. I mean, Dalvin Cook, I can't say enough good things about him. And I think people who really understand the game of football and what he's able to do, blocking in the backfield, catching a ball out of the backfield, just kind of have a nose for where he needs to go and follow his blockers. Doesn't look like a rookie right now. I mean, he's a guy that, and that there was a moment yesterday when he was down on the field and everybody collectively held their breath at U.S. Bank Stadium. And I'm sure people watching at home until he popped up and ran off the sideline, you're thinking, uh-oh, here we go again. And fortunately, he was fine. But that's the kind of stuff because, you know, again, you can see the difference between a year ago. Peterson wasn't playing. He wasn't effective when he did play. The Kennen's okay. You know, Latavius Murray's barely being used right now. And
I thought it was the age of Latavius.
Yeah, I did. I know. And maybe if given opportunities, would do fine. But he certainly isn't the talent that Dalvin Cook is. I mean, not even close. This kid is, I'm sure a lot of teams are looking
at Dalvin Cook, after 3 weeks, is on pace to have a better career than Adrian Peterson.
Well, I know he is. If you look at everything.
Rushing-wise, overall yardage, he's not. Adrian, actually, not, because of his receiving yards, as weird as that sounds, through the first three games.
Mm. Yeah. Well, he caught, what?
We don't need him to catch
five for 72 yards yesterday.
Did you see Thielen and Diggs? We don't need our running back to catch balls.
Well, and
I mean, Thielen continues to be just an extraordinary story. I mean, he got paid this offseason, and his work ethic is there. And the combination of Diggs and Thielen.
Well, Diggs was a fifth-round draft pick, too. It's not like he was a highly acclaimed
receiver.
You're
absolutely right. You're absolutely right. He was not. And that, you know, we see that time and time again with, in particular, wide receivers. That's why a lot of them get taken in the later rounds.
Want to rip Rick Spielman's drafting prowess against him more?
I have.
Yeah, why don't you go after him?
Why don't you rip those offensive line picks? I mean, people were all up in arms. The offensive line hasn't changed. Right?
Railroad looks pretty good to me. I'd say Remmers and Riley are a couple of pretty good offseason acquisitions. Who's responsible for those?
They're already Rick Spielman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Want to apologize to Rick right now?
I'm not apologizing for anything. Right. I wasn't ripping him for the picks. They have to pan out. It's his job on the line. He's the one invested in these guys, and it's certainly a lot better what we saw last year at any time.
I stated via Twitter yesterday, this is the best group of skill players on the offensive side the Vikings have had since 2009.
Vikriots. That's what I'm calling.
You know, if you count running back, receivers, tight end combined.
I thought you didn't like the tight end. I thought you weren't a Rudolph guy.
I'm not a huge Rudolph guy, but compared to what we've had since 2009, he would still be considered our best tight end.
I don't think there's probably much of an argument.
Probably better than our 2009 tight end.
Probably not much of an argument against that.
And it's funny, after last week, you guys basically wrote the team off.
Not at all. I didn't even come close to it, because I was downplaying the whole importance of the Pittsburgh game. Don't try to get me going. I was not.
You downplayed. I don't.
I did. I said it over and over again.
You did? Okay.
Oh, I don't. You don't listen. You don't pay attention.
I guess I don't remember that.
Of course you don't.
Yeah.
I said it compared to any NFC game, especially divisional game. Of course you want to win it, but don't get all riled up if they don't, because it's Pittsburgh's opener. You're probably not going to win there. And as it turns out, the best thing that could have happened was Bradford not playing. In that context, I mean, they weren't probably going to win either way. And it was just an ugly game. Pittsburgh didn't do anything great. They got two big plays on penalties, maybe three big plays on penalties, and that was kind of the game. They just took advantage of those and ran out the clock. It wasn't anything special. The Vikings didn't do anything special, obviously, the entire game.
Yeah.
So move on. That's it.
It does drive me crazy, though, when especially the Vikings players do it. They do the old, we just had to clean up some penalties that we had against Pittsburgh. They act as if all penalties are like discipline-related penalties. And there are discipline-related penalties, right? The B-Rob offsides, that's a discipline issue.
Mm-hmm.
But
when
you're giving up two pass interference calls on 45, 50 yards, that's just because you got beat. It has nothing to do with, you know, you're undisciplined. Or, you know, you're holding them and you're still holding them.
Well, I have to say something.
Well, I know.
Somebody else, I think, heard the same thing I did. It says, fraud man cometh.
What's that?
Listen to Rosen. Last week he was writing our obituary. Now he's all on board. Comical.
I wasn't writing their obituary.
I'd love to play what
I wish you
were saying last Monday. I don't remember you just saying, no big deal. Just
about the Pittsburgh game?
Yeah.
I said it wasn't a big deal going into the game. I said it wasn't anything to write home about at all, about the result of the game.
Right.
And I said at that point, The biggest question mark is, can any team survive with its backup quarterback for any length of time and win a division? It's the rhetorical question, and most teams, you would have to say no. I mean, the backup for Jameis Winston is Ryan Fitzpatrick, who probably has, you know, has probably more experience as a backup than almost any other backup in the league. I was looking at, I always like to check out the backup quarterbacks of the teams the Vikings are playing. Just out of curiosity, is it a veteran? Is it some young kid? Who is it? And in this case, it's Fitzpatrick, who's been around a long time.
We call him Fitzmagic.
Fitzmagic? Do you?
Yeah, we do.
But generally speaking, because of the salary cap, there's not a lot of money invested in backup quarterbacks. And the Vikings have, you know, they felt they upgraded with Keenum, but we didn't know. We hadn't seen him play other than last week. I was like, well, no, nothing.
Won nine games as a starter before. It's not like he hasn't quarterbacked
a team
that. Victory.
No, he has. He has. He's lost a lot of games.
Let me ask you this. Let's just say.
But you want him to start every game now.
He starts Sunday for me against Detroit. Why would I stop him now? Why would I want to
throw
that
Bradford
off?
Looked pretty good in game one, too. And I would say that Sam Bradford is your starting quarterback if he's 100% healthy.
You and I just approach it from different viewpoints.
You're right. That's a hot pitcher.
How about this now? From wondering, this is the thing, a week ago we didn't know what we were going to do. It's a possibility Bridgewater comes off the PUP list in 4 weeks. We've got more quarterback. We have more quarterback strength than any team in the league, than any two teams. You could take our three quarterbacks and merge any other two teams, and you'd say our quarterback crew is better.
Maybe
Bradford, Keenum, Bridgewater.
Let's go!
We'll take a break. We'll come back. More with Mark Rosen.
Programming on the Fan today is brought to you by Bradshaw and Bryant.
Mentioned it tend to be before. I don't know if I've ever mentioned it to you, Mark Rosen. Do you know how underrated it is to have a gal who can rattle the pots and pans?
Oh, goodness. I understand completely.
She just made
nothing better.
A terrific, last night, a terrific
eating,
teriyaki chicken dish. And I just had the leftovers just now.
It smelled good.
By the way, close circuit to my lovely wife celebrating 18 years of wedded bliss today.
Oh, well, congratulations.
18 years.
I just closed my eyes. I can see the halo over her head.
Yep.
Having to deal with you for the last 18
years.
What
is that supposed to mean?
I think it's pretty self-explanatory.
Well, there's that.
Jeez, congratulations.
Well, there's that. Thank you very much. Also, let's see. We talked. How about this? Tenneby says he thinks the Vikings have the best set of skill players they've had since 2009. And we don't even have Mike Floyd in the lineup yet. What do we do there? Do we
it's embarrassment
trade
of riches.
How about this? Do we trade Bradford to a desperate team for a number one pick overall? Did anybody lose their starting quarterback for the season this week?
No.
Think about how ironic that would be. How delicious would that be? We trade Bradford, get that number one pick back, because we've got Keenum and Bridgewater now.
We don't know if we have Bridgewater at all.
Would you entertain phone calls for Sam Bradford right now if a call came in? Tenneby?
Well, you'll have to answer the phone.
So we'll give you a first-round pick.
Yeah, pick up the phone.
We'll give you a first-round pick for Sam Bradford.
I'd need more than that.
Yeah, I would.
All right, a first-round pick. Whatever we trade. What did we trade? We get back whatever we traded.
What did we trade? A first and a...
fourth or fifth or something,
something like that?
So would you do it for a first and a fourth?
Well, if you're dealing with...
Well,
would
you?
If Teddy Bridgewater...
If you knew Bridgewater was coming back...
100% healthy... and looks in practice like he's your franchise quarterback, then yes, I would do it. But I think that's a massively big if.
Well, you guys are doing too many ifs. You got the call today. Make the answer.
No.
That's fine. I trade him today.
Okay. Well, you got to deal with this contract at some point.
Cooking a feeling, ba, 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 ba. I'm high on Case Keenum, ba, ba, ba.
You just go which way the wind's blowing to.
Well, maybe there's that, too. The defense was a special. Oh, wait, let's not say special, but they played very well.
This is going to be their hallmark, I think, of the entire season again. I mean, last year we saw them get worn down, I think. The first five games, they were 5-0. They were just shutting people down the entire game here. The Giants, remember the Houston game, a couple other ones. That you just watched and you just go, there's nothing the offense can do against this defense. And the Vikings offense was okay. It wasn't explosive. So, you know, you hope that what Shermer's done with Bradford and now with Keenum and the whole, as Tenneby talked about, with I think a much improved skill set that we're looking at on paper was no standout wide receiver. I don't think when NFL experts start breaking down wide receiving core. I don't think Thielen and Diggs before the season were among the top 10 that you'd mentioned, right? Top 15 maybe
right.
even. And so that's with that emerging and with the possibility that Michael Floyd will add a lot more. Yeah, I mean, their defense is what remains the rock-solid part of what they do. They're going to give up yards. Every team does in this league. It's really difficult. This just in. But Xavier Rhodes, again, he's been up against the best receivers that the other team has thrown at him, Antonio Brown, yesterday again with Tampa Bay. And, you know, he's the real deal. They're going to get called at times. It's just the way the game's played. You're going to get pass interference calls. Maybe some are going to be ticky-tacky. Some are going to be obvious. But their offense, their front seven looks really solid. And they got a lot of depth in that defensive line. A lot of it. A lot of quality depth in that defensive line. And that's what you like to see. Because that's what's going to be carry them through this season. I mean, it just is. That's anyone who's watched football for any length of time knows that's how you win eventually.
Your guy Rhodes has grabbed two very tough assignments the last 2 weeks. Yesterday was what's his name? Evans?
Yeah.
In the week before it was Antonio Brown. And I mean neither receiver was completely shut down, but certainly weren't putting up those massive numbers that they're both accustomed to, maybe not each and every week, but they're both top-notch wide receivers. The Rhodes guy's good. I mean, there's no diamond.
He's elite.
He stands out. Yeah. He really does stand out. I mean, and it's good to see Trey Waynes get a pick. He was getting picked on until proven otherwise. He will continue to get picked on, but he timed that interception really well in the end zone yesterday. Winston underthrew it a little bit, but credit Waynes for making the play, and that certainly has to boost his confidence a little bit. Again, it's a tough position to play, and especially when you get injuries, and that's what happened again with Tampa Bay. You hear it week in, week out. Oh, this guy's out. That guy's out. And you know, quarterbacks are smart enough to know who to attack, and that's the nature of the game.
And you know, it just dawned on me right now: Keenum, Bradford, Bridgewater, and Slaughter. I mean, we got Slaughter.
That's right, Phillip Slaughter.
And Leitner's always off on the street. If
and
we
think
need
about
him.
It, think about it. Oh, and we could go with. I can just hear Slaughter now. He goes, I let Teddy, Sam and Case do their thing for four quarters, but come fourth quarter, bring it to Slaughter.
Bring it to Slaughter.
Slaughter quarter. I thought that rhymed better.
Yeah. Well,
but think about it. We got the Slaughter kid.
Well, and I think they want to keep developing that kid.
Think about it. It's an embarrassment of riches at the signal calling position.
I don't know if I could. I wish I could share your optimism about Teddy Bridgewater since we haven't seen him. It was funny yesterday at the game. This is so perfect because they take a shot. The Vikings are up pretty significant in the game. They took a shot of the sidelines on the big scoreboards, right? And here's Bridgewater in street clothes, or wearing his warm-ups or whatever, standing next to one of his teammates. And the place goes nuts. They start cheering for him, right? Literally, within 2 seconds after that, they put up the offense at work sign on the scoreboard because the Vikings had the ball. So they show Bridgewater, everybody's cheering. They go, oh, don't cheer anymore because we got the ball and we need to hear the signals.
I always love that one.
So all of a sudden, they got to hush the crowd. You know, then don't show them. Just a little nitpicking.
We're on a roll right now.
We are. Well, on a roll. Any team on a roll? I mean, there's two unbeaten teams left. 3 weeks of the season, we got two unbeaten teams left right now. Is that correct?
That's right.
The Kitties could have been.
Should have been.
But it's Atlanta and Kansas City.
This is a delightful game. It's a delicious loss. You know, when you're comfortable in your own skin, and mine would be lion's fur, we're very comfortable losing games like that. We have no issue.
Well, you have a history of losing games like that. That's
so much fun.
It's just, it's uncanny, the Vikings, you know, that we can't have nice things in Minnesota, and yet the Lions with the Rodgers play, I mean, it's just over and over again, they find inventive ways to lose. And hearing that play-by-play, I can't imagine people filing out of Ford Field yesterday, muttering to themselves, wondering how they just had that game stolen away from them.
And have you heard that when Tate's knee goes down, there's 11 seconds on the clock?
I heard that. So technically, they'd have a second left. And that's a really weird rule.
All
anyway.
They need is 1 second. You snap the ball. Stafford drops back. Throws, touchdown, Detroit Lions.
I know Jim Caldwell, the coach, said he thought it was the right call. And I'm watching it, the replay.
Well, it was the right call.
Yeah, I guess it was. Although I just think it's...
If you're not in the end zone and there's under 10 seconds, they do a 10. Because think
where
about
your
it.
Knee hits,
had they called it right... And said he's not in, right? Well, then the Lions have to hurry. They have to scurry to get up the line. They probably don't get a playoff in that amount of time. It'd be very difficult. Plus, wouldn't it have just been a spike situation? They would have had, it was fourth down. They needed to make a play right there. So that's okay. We'll see Atlanta again. I tweeted this yesterday. Did you see that, Tenneby?
I saw it. It was perfect.
The Kitties in Atlanta, they'll play again.
When's that?
U.S. Bank Stadium, first weekend in February, my boy.
I always love that one.
More with Mark Rosen about his one of his favorite teams.
Oh, we'll
do that
here
next.
Here we go.
Tweet at KFAN1003 with hashtag MVP table promo, and you could win a VIP table to for the football feast at Buffalo Wild Wings in Monticello this Friday, September 29th. Must be 21 plus to enter. No purchase necessary. Details at KFAN.com. Keyword contest.
Couple 13, 14 pass. Tanner, ready for a giveaway?
Of course I am.
Let's do one. 11th caller wins a pair of tickets to see Ahmad Rashad get inducted into the Vikings Ring of Honor at the Purple Jacket Ceremony, September 29th, that's this Friday, at the Goose that laid the Golden Egg 2.0. 11th caller, 651-989-5326 or 1-800-320-5326. 11th caller, get the pair of tickets for the Purple Jacket Ceremony for Ahmad. You'll be there?
I'll be emceeing it.
You wouldn't miss it, would you?
Well, they invited me to emcee it.
But you wouldn't miss it anyway.
Well, no, I wouldn't, because it's...
You and Ahmad go way back.
We do.
You made his broadcast career. You've mentioned on a number of occasions.
Well, I don't know if I made it. I helped kickstart it.
Oh, I thought you said you made it.
No, I kickstarted it here at Channel 4 back with the Rashad Rosen Report.
We've That's been, right.
We remained great friends for all these years, and he's very thrilled. Talked to him a couple weeks ago about it. He's extremely happy about coming here.
But unlike
here.
You, he left town to go to bigger and better things. You could have, but you stayed here.
We weren't. I could have.
We weren't.
Yeah,
big
and you're
Ahmad.
Better off for it.
Yes,
yeah.
We are.
We're all better off.
But Ahmad
for it.
Was too big.
No,
for us.
No, too. You know, he had to go to NBC
funny.
And then yeah,
that
NBA. Yeah, forgot about
that's
us back
the
here.
The way that goes.
No, it should be more of a roast, I think, than it will be a.
Now, before we talk about your Twins and Lynx
yes,
clubs,
yes, yes, yes.
The Donald, yes, on was it Saturday? Popped off about.
It's Friday night.
It was Friday night at a speech, I think, in Alabama. He likes campaigning more than being the president, I think. That was more like
sure seems that way.
That was more like a campaign speech. He loves running for office. I don't think he likes running the office, but that I don't know that for a fact.
Yeah,
I mean, but I'm just going by perception
sure,
by what
sure.
I see. And he says if you kneel, he thinks the owner should say fire that SOB
mm-hmm.
and then players respond. And there was also this Steph Curry thing. With being
right.
disinvited because Curry called him.
Right.
No,
right.
did Curry call him a bummer? Did
no,
did
no. LeBron did. LeBron did at, in yeah. the in the context after Golden State and Steph Curry were disinvited, even though they really were hadn't even discussed the issue that morning. Curry had made some comments the day before, so that turned into a whole separate issue with arguably the two biggest names in the NBA. Firing back, and then a lot of coaches have followed suit, both in the NBA and the NFL, about the divisiveness that, look, this wasn't even an issue leading up to Friday. I mean, the Kaepernick thing was a year ago. If anything, the NFL has been, by a lot of people, a lot of critics have been saying, why aren't you hiring this guy? His quarterback rating and what he did last year is certainly better. We were just talking about backup quarterbacks and a lot of backup quarterbacks in the league. So if anything, the NFL has been under the gun for mm-hmm. for not... for any team for not bringing Colin Kaepernick back. But I don't think anyone was really talking the last few weeks in particular about anybody kneeling. You know, there's been an occasional player or two or something, but there's been really nothing on the front burner, right,
no.
that you would say that anything has been happening with this issue. So it really has been a non-issue other than the Kaepernick thing, and why isn't he playing? He's not even in the league right now, so he's not kneeling anymore. Until
well, the whole kneeling thing, it just goes to show you, was really ineffective because it hasn't changed anything.
What do you mean?
Well, the any of the players that were kneeling,
right,
to call attention,
right,
to the issue, it wasn't changing anything.
So well, I know what
so
you
wasn't
mean,
even well. What I'm saying
I think
is
just, they were just trying to bring awareness to
right, I mean, but
a social
well, yeah.
injustice. It wasn't.
No, I'm not saying they shouldn't have done. I'm just saying it wasn't.
Oh, no, you're
there
right.
Was no effect.
No,
it wasn't changing
correct,
anything.
Correct.
Nothing they did was changing.
Well, and
anything.
That's the whole point is that this was all inflamed on Friday night
right,
by
exactly.
the president.
Exactly.
At a campaign stop, bringing up something that really no one was really addressing, and you know, and it wasn't. Look, if he had come out and said, look, in the context, however it may have been brought up, someone asked him a question about it, said, look, I'm vehemently opposed to NFL players taking a knee. I think it's disrespectful. I think there's better ways to communicate your dissatisfaction with social injustice, whatever it is. But to come out...
Well, the Steelers guy said it best.
And call them SOBs? and they should be fired? Yeah. I mean, that's there's no middle ground there for discussion.
The only reason he brought it up is he was playing to his audience.
Of course he was.
It had nothing to do with the only reason. No. He's a bigger, you think I'm a gadfly? There's no bigger gadfly.
No. This isn't even about Trump. Politics. This is just about distraction and you know, just trying to create something that just isn't there. That's the thing. And interesting enough, I mean, I've seen enough veteran groups, so I have the highest respect for military people. A widow of a military man who was killed in either Afghanistan or Iraq, saying, "My husband fought for the right for these players to do this." And I think I've seen more of that. And granted, a lot of people, I understand the passion for fans that are upset about it. And I've always stood at attention to the national anthem. I've always respected the flag. And I think 99% of the players have. It's just a different way of looking at it. But I don't understand why he had to go so deep into it and go from 0 to 100, because that's, you know, and to basically what he did was make Roger Goodell suddenly the moral compass of making him at a higher plateau, when most people going at Goodell and going, "You're hardly a leader when it comes to domestic violence, CTE, all the other stuff that's going on in the NFL." All of a sudden, Goodell looks good by making a statement.
Well, let me ask
all the owners. So the whole thing is just
crazy. Well, let me ask you another question, though. I'm just throwing this out there. I'm not sure what to make of this. But you start to think, okay, all the owners did the arm-in-arm thing with Trump, right? I mean, with the players from after what Trump said.
Right.
All the owners and general managers.
Sure.
It's like, well, a lot of those same owners have just left Kaepernick sitting on the sidelines. So aren't they a little bit?
Yes.
Aren't they frauds? Really?
Well, if you look at it, if you're going to narrow it down,
because there are teams that could use Kaepernick. There's nobody that can tell me that Kaepernick is there's 32 teams in the NFL. That's at least 64 quarterbacks, and half of them probably have three on the roster.
Right.
So we're talking about 77. You're going to tell me there are 70 some better quarterbacks than Colin Kaepernick?
Can't get a look at it.
It's not true.
No, it's not.
So in other words, the owners didn't want anything to do with a kneeling Kaepernick, but now that Trump says something, they feel the pressure from all the players on the team. Suddenly we're all arm in arm. I think
hypocrites.
They're all frauds as well.
Yeah, that's a very hypocritical stance. But if you're going to look at it that way, but I think it was a way of, you know, the Vikings were one of the last teams yesterday to put out their own release about it. Most of the teams, and not that, you know, I guess timing is everything, and they did it before the national anthem, right before the national anthem at U.S. Bank yesterday. And it's a tough call for players. I mean, you could argue that maybe they'd be better off just playing the national anthem before either team comes out. I mean, I've seen sporting events where that's happened.
I don't know why they play the national anthem before sporting event.
Well,
at all.
That's a good one of our.
I'm not against
features. One of our things at CCO we do every night is a good question. It's probably a very good question. What's the origin of that? And why do we continue?
I don't care that there is, but I don't think there needs to be.
And it's every event. We play it at all. Whether it's a high school game, college game, whatever.
We don't play it before performance at the Guthrie, do we?
No, we don't. We don't.
Do we play it before a common man performance of flops?
Well, I think.
New Hope Summer Grill? No, we don't.
I think politics and sports has always been linked that way. I mean, the country
and I
really don't know the origin of how long it's been going on. I mean,
maybe someone can tell us.
So I think it's, you know, and now what this is, and when you double down on it, where do you go from here? I mean, and that's the issue. Look at these players, they all want to play football. But it doesn't help when you, again, starting on Friday night, I didn't know what came up. I mean, you're in Alabama. They don't even have an NFL team there. They're very football oriented because of the Crimson Tide in particular, but I'm not even quite sure how that would have even come up in a topic. Why would you bring it up? And then why do you go so deep on it? Why do you call them SOBs? Fire these SOBs. Instead of just saying, look, I think if someone brings up a question, answer it, but why go that deep?
Well, you saw what Kaepernick's mom said, right?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah, it makes me one proud.
I guess.
Well, she has a great comment.
Because when people think of, when you think of the literal definition of what an SOB means, it is an insult to the mother.
Absolutely. That's what they did.
It's not the insult to the person who's doing it. It's the insult to the mother.
No.
It's who it is. It's a
that's probably about as far as we should go on it. But it's a horrible thing to say. And that's my point. This is what we do in this country.
He's an awful human being. Trump is an awful human being. He just is.
I'm not going to go down that road.
I am. He's an awful. Listen to what he says.
I know what he says. Trust me. It makes me very angry about a lot of things. But
what the heck was I going to say? There's something else.
Well, today the press secretary said if the protest is really about police brutality, they should probably protest the officers protecting them on the field. I'm just going, what? Doesn't even make sense. But, you know, I don't know. It's crazy.
I had another.
I'm more worried about actually what's going on in Puerto Rico, to be honest with you. I think that's what we should be putting our, I mean, that's an American, last time I looked, is under our umbrella, and people are absolutely in misery down there, and I think that's what we need to be dealing with. But
what do you make of the Twins not, it's loser proof to not get the wild card, right?
It pretty much is. They could, even they could actually lose out and then probably still make the playoffs. Isn't their magic number 3 now? And
even if they lost 3 to Cleveland, they're not going to lose another game to Detroit. Detroit is a terrible.
Well, Tigers mailed it in all weekend. They let their manager know he wasn't coming back, and the Twins just bombarded him all weekend. So,
if you were swept by Cleveland,
right,
and let's say LA 4-game sweep of the White Sox, which probably isn't likely, but isn't out of the realm, the pressure's ratcheted up a little bit against Detroit then too.
Of course, you got 3 against Cleveland, but so it's they don't play tonight. So LA's got their makeup game. I think they're 4.5 games back right now, but. Is LA even the closest team anymore? There's Texas and
LA still is, yes.
Yeah, so they're 4.5.
They're 4.5. KC and Texas are 5.5.
Yeah, and then LA plays in Chicago tonight, but with the Ricky Nolasco pitcher.
Here was what I was going to say about the protest yesterday. This is what I did. The Pittsburgh Steelers were in the locker room and didn't come out until after the national anthem. But if you remember their I can't pronounce his last name. He's
Villanueva.
Villanueva. Is that how you say it? Villanueva, Army veteran. He stood alone right outside the tunnel with his hand on his heart. He's an Army vet.
Right.
He says, I agree that America's not perfect. I agree there are a lot of issues with minorities in the country, and I agree we should do something about it. But I don't know if the most effective way is to sit down when the national anthem of the country that is providing you freedom and providing you $60 million a year is the best way to do it when there are black minorities that are dying in Iraq and Afghanistan and protecting our freedom for less than $20,000 a year. I just know I'm very thankful to be an American. I will stand very proudly and sing every single line of the national anthem every single time I hear it. I will stop whatever I am doing because I recognize I have to be very thankful to be in this country. I tend to agree. That's why I don't think kneeling during the national anthem is doing your cause any good. Even if your cause is just and right, I don't think the national anthem, doing it during the national anthem, I don't know why Kaepernick and then the rest of the people have picked up on doing it during the national anthem. It makes no sense to me.
Well,
there are other ways to do it, I think.
Well, there are.
It's gotten attention. That's why they've done it.
But it does. But is it changing anything? Go change it. Don't just,
it's not the only thing. I don't know if that's the only thing.
Well, how
that
do you
you're
quantify
doing.
How it's changed?
Yeah, I mean, if you're doing other things, let's just say Kaepernick is. Both, and I agree, socially you have to do a lot more, giving to groups or just making more awareness or whatever it might be, more town meetings, whatever it is. I think players do a lot of stuff in their own time. It's just one silent thing that they're doing. It doesn't affect what you do on the field. I mean, it's not about the flag. It's about what it represents, and I think in this case, other things that they feel was an injustice. That's all.
I just don't know where standing, but...
Well, I just think the whole thing is... just ratcheted up to a place now where, again, we're having this either-or conversation, and I don't think it needs to be. I think I had the highest respect for people who do believe in the right to stand up, and as I always have. But the discourse is about what happened Friday night. That's my whole point, is why go that far with it?
Emailer says here at booth@kfan.com, courtesy of Brad John Brian Inbox, says, common national anthem at sporting events started 1918 during the World Series during WW1.
Wow.
Band played it during the 7th inning stretch. Everyone turned toward the flag. Not to be outdone, you all know the Red Sox did it at the start of the game. Did it at the start of the game. And that's what I'm being told. Whether that's true or not, that's what I'm...
Think about some of the great... I mean, what we always look forward to. The thing we've always talked about. Who's going to sing the national anthem at the Super Bowl? Who's going to sing... I mean, Whitney Houston's... the late Whitney Houston's national anthem rendition after the... Iraq War started. One of the most stirring national anthems. We've had discussions about the greatest national anthem we've heard. Jimi Hendrix's solo. I mean, so I think there's a lot of...
mouth guitar guy.
A lot of pride taken in some of the ones we've talked about. Who's going to sing the national anthem at U.S. Bank Stadium next year for the Super Bowl? And so it does become a topic of conversation.
It does indeed.
In a positive way.
Before we go, because we have to break and you have to go, and then Mike Zimmer is going to address the assembled media and those in the listening audience, your Lynx club. I was surprised. I thought they would win that game at the barn.
Wow, they didn't. They overslept.
28-2
Cobb. And I was at the Viking game and came back. We were getting reports. I went, wait, this has got to be a misprint.
And they fought back valiantly.
Oh, they fought back and they took the lead. They went out. I saw the last part.
They lost on a buzzer beater, right?
Yeah, last 6 seconds. And a great shot by the Sparks player. I mean, it was a fall away. Dirk Nowitzki, like, you know, it was a tough shot because she had a hand in her face. The Lynx came all the way back. All of a sudden, they did everything right there. I think went on a 12-0 run, fast breaks, great defense. They were knocking down three-pointers, and Williams Arena was rocking. And then, to the Sparks' credit, they came back and hit the game winner. It wasn't an easy layup. It wasn't a miscue defensively by what the Lynx did. So it's game one, but it's sort of what L.A. did a year ago. Now it puts the pressure all the more on Minnesota tomorrow night here in game two before they go back to L.A.
Good to see you. We'll see you.
Wednesday,
but you will be here tomorrow, not here, but on the air,
correct.
Noon to 1, you'll be with Grimm.
As long as he doesn't get sick.
What?
Well, you just tend to have illnesses pop up every once in a while.
Tend to have illnesses. I had one sick day this year.
Yeah. Make sure
what is your problem?
Exhausted. What's wrong with me?
I had one sick day all year, and you're jumping on me for being sick?
Yeah, he had work exhaustion.
Good Lord.
He'll be here tomorrow. He'll tough it up.
I love that one.
You're 37. You don't get sick. He's almost 70 years old.
I'm not almost 70.
Oh, well, however old you are. Thanks, Mark.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. We'll be back with Mike Zimmer.
Programming on the Fan today is brought to you by Cars for Kids.
Couple 13-14 passed here on the Common Man program. Hey, before the Grum is over, we have one more giveaway. We won't do it now, but I promise we will during the 2 o'clock hour. We'll give away a $50 gift card to Golf Galaxy. Join Common at Golf Galaxy either this Friday or Saturday, or heck, both days. I'll be at Golf Galaxy, the new Golf Galaxy, at the Richfield Shops in Lindale, Friday 4 p.m. until 6 p.m., then again Saturday noon to 2. Golf Galaxy will have great giveaways. New product demoing and so much more. Hope to see you there. We're awaiting the arrival of one young Mike Zimmer, head football coach of the soon-to-be Super Bowl champion Minnesota Vikings. If you'll remember last week, he spent part of his news conference sort of kind of apologizing to fans and the media for being curt, even though his name's Mike, kind of ironic, being short with the media and not providing a lot of answers. Still went on to say, I just don't have a crystal ball, but I know the fans want, you know, the conduit to the team to find out what's going on with the team is through the media, and I probably shouldn't have been quite so short with them. And so we opened up, and I'm sure he'll be jolly today. He said, I saw this quote, Tenneby, he generally doesn't give game balls to players at the end of games. A lot of coaches do. Hey, they'll stand there, they all slap each other on the back in the locker room, then they'll go, let's give a game ball to this guy, A, B, C, D player, whatever the case may be. He gave one to Case Keenum yesterday. I thought that was deserving of an awe. And so Case Keenum got one. So my guess is the coach is going to be in a delightful move. A delightful mood. I would think everyone at Winter Park, there's a spring in their step. You start out with it's an exceptional performance week one. And then week two, not so good with a backup quarterback on short notice, relatively short notice. And then you have yesterday's home game at Goose 2.0, in which, again, very similar to game one. They look pretty good from start to finish. Not much to complain about. It does remind you that it can be so different week to week in the NFL that you really shouldn't. We love it. We love doing the panic button. I mean, I had somebody say, an emailer said he had requested nothing's going to stop us now. And yep. I emailed back. It's a little early for that. But like he said, but that's what the Grum's all about, is overreacting. And he's right. And most fans do it. Not all fans, but there's a number of fans, including myself. You start doing, after one great game, you're going, we got it all together. We're really good. I can't find another loss on the schedule. Then the very next week, the team looks bad, like they did against the Steelers. You're going, it's a terrible team in a terrible city with terrible fans. I should have known. It was smoke and mirrors week one. We're a terrible team. And then you see what happens this week. We're back to, boy, it sure looks good now. We're back on our feet again. And so it is, again, a prime example, these first 3 weeks, of how quickly it can change. And that there's a cliche in the National Football League, Teddy, and there's a reason why cliches are true, generally speaking, or that people have cliches, because they're usually true, and that is you just have to get through and win more games than you lose September, October, November. Give yourself a chance in November or December. Rattle off 4 wins in December, you're probably in. You probably make the playoffs. That's how it works. So you want to be playing your best football. What does Mike Tice say? He says you want to be playing your best football in December. That's when you want to.
A tough guy game, playoff football in December, you got to execute, and you can't leave plays on the field.
That's when you want to play, December football. That's when you want to play well. And so it's difficult to go undefeated, so you're going to have some ups and downs. If you pick through the schedule right now, Tennaby, it's Detroit at home, Chicago on the road, then Green Bay at home. I could see him going 2-1 in those games. I could see him going 1-2, right? And if they go 1-2, does it mean, well, it's over? If they go 2-1, should I plant my chair at the parade route site on Nicollet? Probably not. Probably not. But
they could lose all three of those games, and they could easily win all three of those
games. And even if they lost all three, it wouldn't mean it's over. Wouldn't be good, but it wouldn't mean it's over. And if they won all three, it doesn't mean they got a place guaranteed. Just doesn't. It just doesn't. It's because it changes week to week so dramatically. So, but my guess is we'll have a very very delightful Mike Zimmer. Let's find out.
I think that we played really well together as a team. Offensively, obviously they played outstanding. The offensive line was very good. Defensively, we played the run really well, got some turnovers. And in special teams, except really for the one kickoff return, I thought we did a nice job there. So it was, it was great to be back in our stadium with our fans. They were great again. We'll continue to need them being as loud as they have been, continuing on this week against Detroit and continuing forward. So, questions.
Is wearing women's underwear part of your team?
How do you feel your offense has evolved? You're now number 2 in the NFL in total offense.
Yeah, well, we don't really look at the statistics yet. I know everybody else does, but it's a long season. We're just trying to get better each and every week.
Like 7 days ago, it kind of felt like the sky was falling, at least maybe outside the building. I'm curious if inside the building things feel a lot different this time, this week.
No, not really. It's pretty much the same. We just try to go 1 week at a time and see what happens. I know there was, that's a week-to-week proposition in the NFL. Media and everybody, this week we're great. Next week if we lose, we're terrible. Just the way it is, So we just try to do the best we can to prepare and get better each week. And that's really all we're trying to do now is prepare for Detroit.
When you watch the tape, what was the biggest difference with Case from his first start to his second?
I think a lot of it had to do with, the timing of when he knew he was going to play, changing the plan. I think he was confident going in. I felt good about the plays. And then, you got to give all the guys some credit. They executed. The offensive line, we ran the ball well. Cook had some really good runs. The offensive line blocked, protected well. We made some really good catches. Thielen had a great catch. Diggs had a great catch. Sometimes that's just how it goes. It's like I say, it's week to week. We just, trying to do the best we can each week.
Did he get the ball out quicker? Or do you feel like he found a spot in the pocket more?
I don't necessarily, I've got the sheet upstairs on how many seconds he's throwing the ball all the time, but I didn't look at it yet today. But I didn't feel like that was anything. We had some where we blocked them all up, had basically two-man routes. We had some where we had everybody out. We had, a good combination of things. So I mean, it wasn't any, what's the word I'm looking for, any emphasis to get the ball out quick.
How much of the improved running game and just the threat of the run opening up the passing game?
Well, it definitely helps a lot. I mean, you know, when you can run the football the way we've been running it, it helps. You know, it helps get more people down in the box. It gives more single coverage on the outside. And Case made a couple. You know, we had a couple. I know you asked me the other day about their zero blitzes and things like that. They had a couple of them. We hit, one of them was for a touchdown.
Beck, I know you said you don't watch the stats, but to have your team kind of now in the upper echelon of an offense, even though it's just three games in, for a team that's always been the defense, sometimes even carried this, it's got to be a nice... Would you say it's a turning point yet that the offense is now where you'd like it to be or not?
Well, I think they're doing a really nice job. I think they're executing. I think they're... I think the... plans that they have each week is very good, but it's 3 weeks, so we typically don't look at stats until Thanksgiving, so we still got a long way to go, but it's great. I'm happy that they're executing, they're putting points on the board. There's a lot of things we worked on in the offseason, the team has been doing, and again, I still think it's all about the team as we continue to go forward.
Doesn't do just come down to the simple fact in two of those games, your line has given your quarterback time to make throws downfield or plays to develop?
I don't think it's a simple fact. I think, I think they're doing a good job in protection. We've obviously we're doing a lot of different things with the protections now. I mean, so I think that's part of it. But execute, telling you, helping them, being able to run the football. I don't know what he had. How many yards did he have yesterday? 97 yards and 25 carries or something. What did he have? 27. And then he caught, catching the ball out of the backfield. All those things are important, not just for the overall part of the offense.
You mentioned the plans a lot on offense, what Pat's put together and the other offensive assistants. Is that something that started to emerge for you even this spring and summer with some of the things he was putting together? Or?
I just think they have a good communication. I'm listening to them during the game, and, we got guys upstairs communicating coverages and tendencies and things that we're doing and ways to attack it, and Pat, he asks, hey, you guys like this, you guys like that, and so it's a collective effort. I think the offensive staff has done a nice job, and when I say plans, I'm just saying, I'm saying they're executing the things. You can have a great plan and not execute, and I think the team has been executing the, obviously, we're throwing the ball good, and we're protecting good, and we're running the ball good. So, that all goes hand in hand.
Has he been ahead of where you expected him to be this so far as, a rookie that's able to incorporate so many different elements? Yesterday, you were talking about that 36-yard reception, I think, where, he breaks through and he gets those yards after, yards after contact. Is that where, kind of given the full body of his game, where you expected him to be at?
I mean, I have high expectations for him. I think he's going to be a great player. Some of the things he does are, and it's not just that part, but some of the things he does, the hole may be this big and he can get skinny and pick his feet up and accelerate through there. And then, he gets on his, you don't get a lot of clean shots on this guy. He's got a lot of wiggle to him, acceleration. There was one play he kind of got through the line and the safety came up and he missed him. So, when he gets close to the goal line, he smells that and he's trying to pump it in there. That's what I like about him the most.
Have you noticed benefits of having him and the versatility and the way defense is approached?
Good question. I'd have to think back on all three games. I think they're respecting him a lot. I don't know how much they're changing their coverages, you know, and pressure packages and things like that based on that, but I know that I have a pretty good idea they're respecting the run with him.
Big key to the run defense being as good as
better. You know, the guys up front have done a nice job, really all of them. And then the secondary has tackled pretty well as well in those things. So, you know, Shamar, I thought he's played well, you know, these 3 weeks. And Linville, you know, the two ends have done a nice job, Barr and Kendricks. You know, Gideon, when he's been in there, he's done a good job. So, you know, that's part of it. Just good players.
Playing as well as he did, would that lead you to be more cautious with Bradford or take things slower with him?
No, when Sam's ready, he's the quarterback.
Yet of Sam will be able to practice this week?
I really don't. It's really day to day. We'll just see how the week goes and go from there.
Already from getting the second piece in the building and part of it.
Yes. Had a nice talk with him today. He's a nice, just a nice, easy talk.
Time for two more.
There seemed to be quite a bit of rotating of some of the cornerbacks. Was that health, or was that trying to keep them fresh, or what was the...
Well, it was just trying to keep them fresh, just trying to get a little rotation going. Sometimes it's, you know, we have different packages too, so it's part of it's packages, some of it's just, you know, I think Zave got tired a couple times, and, you know, I don't remember exactly. You know, he had some good things and bad things. You know, I thought he competed well. You know, he's still working on some of the technique things that we're trying to get done. Is that two? All right, thank you.
Well, tell me, why are the reporters stationed on an aircraft carrier when they're asking questions? That's very weird to me.
It's a bit bizarre.
It's just this, it's almost like they're in a boiler room or something. Aren't they allowed to see him face to face and be in the same room? It's just, it's a crazy sound, but at least we do hear the questions. A very upbeat and chipper, Mike Zimmer, and well, he should be. Did I hear him say Bradford's the guy?
He said when Sam's ready, he's playing, but he's still listed as day-to-day.
If Sam's ready Sunday, throws for 123 and three picks, and they lose, I guess I'll have to say I told you. I'll just have to say I told you so. I don't think he'll do that, do I, like Zimmer? I think they're both pretty good. It's what we talked about last week, Tenneby. Most quarterbacks, not all, but most guys in the league, let's say there's 90 quarterbacks in pro football, 60 of them are pretty good if they've got protection and a good running game and guys that can get open. They just are. I mean, they didn't get to the NFL because he's got a terrible arm, bad decision maker, can't get out of pressure from in a pocket. They're all pretty good. You put them on a good team. I'm not saying they're all the same then. I'm not just saying they're all interchangeable. You put somebody on Brady's team, they won't be as good as Brady, but boy, it sure helps if you got that kind of offensive genius.
They can all make throws if they've got time to throw and the receivers are open.
That's it. That's exactly right. So, but that was good. That was nice. It was nice to hear he didn't have to apologize this week. He was just...
I thought they were going to go after him with Sam a little bit more, and they didn't. They kind of waited till the end.
They did, and... I think maybe they were worried about the crystal ball. Maybe they thought they were going to hear more about the crystal ball that he doesn't have. Maybe that's what.
But I mean, there was a report that he had the second opinion and that the results were the same as the first opinion. So,
right.
AP guy John Kaczynski said with meat sauce this Saturday that I think it's just more of a pain threshold thing with Sam. Throw some Robitussin on it. Get back out there.
Listen to you. So easy for you. The next time you call in sick, like you've got the flu or don't feel good, I'm just going to say, suck it up.
Oh, I load up on NyQuil.
Yeah. But my guess is you'll take a sick day here sometime. And we'll see if you're just as tough about your own efforts as you are for Sam Bradford. I mean, is it just a pain threshold thing? Is it?
That's what John Krasinski said. Well, just a matter of him being able to handle the pain.
And where did John hear that from?
I don't know.
Mm.
But he's relatively plugged in. I trust him.
Okay, so we're going to assume just because Johnny Krasinski says it's a pain, we just...
Yeah.
I'd rather hear from Sam to tell me if that's what it is. And what if the pain is unbearable? I mean, everybody's got a different pain threshold.
Sure.
So yours might be different. I mean, you're known as a tough guy. We know that. So maybe for you, it would be easier said than done.
I'm the toughest snag you know.
That's the toughest snag I know. We'll pause. We'll come back with a little dis dat lat here on the Fan.
And by the way, the presser was brought to you by Youngstead.
Oh, too. I was about to induce some goosebumps around the Twin Towns. Emailer says regarding the pro. And I don't want to dive too deep in this. I want to stay happy today. But it says, what would make an effective protest? I would say one, annoys people. If it doesn't annoy people, it'll not get discussed. Two, does not incite violence or create safety issues. Stopping traffic on I-94 meets criteria one, but fails criteria two. Kneeling for the anthem poses no risk for violence or safety. Number three, easy to identify your issue. What your issue is. Everyone knows exactly why players are kneeling for the anthem. Each player that does it is in effect delivering a clear message. They believe police brutality is a problem for minority communities and can no longer be ignored, as it has been throughout U.S. history. Do I think this protest is perfect? No, but of all the protests in my lifetime, I was born in 1989, I cannot think of a better example for how to protest. Can you provide an example for me? I hope this email doesn't come off as testy. I'd just like to see what your thoughts are. It didn't come off as testy, and I don't take it as testy, and that was not my argument. My argument is, what is an effective protest? Have you heard anybody since the Kaepernick, when Kaepernick first kneeled, and for the first few weeks after, and a couple other places. But do you hear many people talking about it anymore? I not a soul until Trump. Most people just, oh, he's kneeling. Oh, yeah, kneeling. To me, an effective protest is a protest that elicits change. When it works. When you go, guess what? There is an issue here. And now we're going to, when we see, and I don't think this is going to happen. I just don't. But when we see zero police brutality versus minority communities, and then I can say, you know, it's an effective protest. I don't know. Maybe it's already made a bunch. Maybe there has been a lot of change.
I think it's just kind of hard to quantify whether change has been made or not.
It is. I just don't think it's effective. I guess you think it is. I don't.
I'm not saying it is.
I don't think it is. See, I you're saying you don't know. I'm saying I do know, at least in my opinion, and I could be wrong, but the way I look at it is I don't think it's done a thing. The day you tell me that we don't have any more police incidents in which we have alleged police brutality that we find out actually is, where, you know, we've seen the videos of the one, there was the one down in North Carolina, whatever it was, where the guy tried to plant the taser. When the black guy's running away from him and he shoots him in the back after about 8 times, when those stop happening completely, then I'll say, well, you know what? I guess that kneeling during the national anthem must have worked. But until then, I don't know. So,
well, and here's a small example, but you know, I was watching the Sunday Night Football broadcast last night, and Tony Dungy did a piece from two Miami Dolphins players, and I apologize for not knowing one of them's name. One was Kenny Stills, and the other one's
Kenny
name.
Kenny Stills.
And they were two players that a year ago... took a knee during the national anthem after Kaepernick did, took a lot of heat for it, and they've followed up with their community to try to make progress, and pretty much the piece just showed how they've created, they had a town hall meeting in their city like a week after the protest with police, and they had good discussion revolving it, and they had, you know, points in which police were actively out in the community with children and, you know, hanging out with African-American children and creating and fostering a positive relationship, at least from what I saw in the video. I'm not there in Miami on a day-to-day basis. And that was all, you know, trying to improve relations with police on both ends.
And that's how you elicit change, by actually going out there and doing something, not just taking a knee during the national anthem.
But the knee sparked the conversation.
Well, okay. You can say it sparked the conversation in that case, yeah. I mean, that's what it took. Good for them. So then I guess it did work in that case. I just... I think, let's put it this way then. We now know what the kneeling means. No need to do it anymore now, I don't think, because we know what it means, so let's go out and make that change. What do you think? But if you want to continue to kneel, you can do that. That's what makes America great. Great thing about America is everybody's entitled to their opinion. The other great thing is you don't have to listen to that opinion. And you are able to peacefully protest. That's the beauty of it, et cetera, et cetera. So if you want to continue to do it, if you think it's an effective way of protesting, do it then. As long as, like you say, as long as it's peaceful and there's no violence. If you think it works, I'm not telling you to stop. Go for it. Do it. If you think it works, knock yourself out. Continue to kneel during the national anthem if you think it works. Because the case Tenenbaum drew up, those two guys knelt, and then I don't know if them kneeling was what got them to actually, you know, go into action, you know, to take action and to do things. But if it did, great. In that case, it did work. I think I would just do it rather than keep kneeling. But I will say again, if you want to kneel, I don't have a problem with you kneeling during the act. I do not have a problem with it. I don't. I liked what Pittsburgh Steeler guy said. And he served in the armed services. And again, he's not necessarily right or wrong either. But I like what he said about, you know, somebody said, now I don't know if this is, tell me if you think there's something, I don't know if this is quite the same. But I wish I could find it again. I don't think I'm going to be able to find it. It's going to annoy me because I don't. It had to do with the people that are kneeling. Here's where I have the, and this is what I agree with. This I'm paraphrasing what the email said. The people that are kneeling aren't kneeling against the national anthem or the United States of America. They're kneeling against perceived police brutality. Just like with Rosa Parks, they said, which she wasn't protesting the transportation service in the United States of America. See what I'm saying? She was protesting her being forced to give up her seat for somebody of a different color. So she wasn't protesting the bus
yeah.
and bus service.
Yeah.
Just like I don't think when the players take a knee, I don't think they're protesting the flag or they don't like Francis Scott Key's national anthem. They're saying what they're doing is during the national anthem, because everybody's supposed to stand at attention by them kneeling, that draws attention. Why are they doing that? Oh, that's why they're doing it. That's what it's for. They're not doing it because they're against the United States of America. I don't believe. But again, then I go back, if you want to protest that way, that's fine. But I don't know if it's really eliciting the change you want. And maybe in some cases it is, maybe it's not. You do whatever you have to do. I know what I have to do. I have to break, and I have to do a giveaway. So why don't we do that right now? I want to give away a $50 gift card to Golf Galaxy. I'll be there. It's the grand opening of the new Golf Galaxy in Richfield that shops of Lindale. I'll be there Friday, 4 to 6. Come by and verbally slap me on the back. Might even do a little putting contest there. And I'm putting much better than I have in the past. I'll be there Saturday, noon to 2. Thank you. Golf Galaxy will have great giveaways. There'll be new products to demo and so much more. We will see you there. But be the 11th caller at 651-989-5326 or 1-800-320-5326. If you are indeed the 11th caller, you'll be a winner of that $50 gift card from Golf Galaxy. We'll be back after this on The Fan.
Jim Gray from Westwood One with a Monday Night Football preview. Kevin Harlan and Kurt Warner are all set to call the action as Carson Palmer, Larry Fitzgerald, and the Arizona Cardinals host Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys. Both teams are looking to improve on their 1-1 start to the season. Join us to find out who gets the win and hear the NFL all season from Westwood One.
Right here on FM 100.3 KFAN The Fan.
When your battery goes dead, everything can come to a stop. Don't take a chance on getting stranded. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and get your battery tested free of charge. If your battery does need to be replaced, O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact Superstart battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm not much of a dancer. Never have been. Not at weddings, not at concerts, not even when my favorite song is on the radio. But there's something about seeing exactly what I ordered arrive at my facility's door the day after I ordered it. That gets my foot a-tapping. That's why I love Grainger. With 99% of in-stock items shipping the same day they're ordered, they get us what we need when we need it, which means we keep moving and I keep grooving. Call clickgranger.com or stop by. Granger, for the ones who get
it. On the Fan today is brought to you by Prism Research.
Some kind of way out of here. Say the joker to the thief. There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief. Businessman there, drink my wine.
Couple 13, 14 passed. Common man here being attacked from all angles. Very controversial topic. I'll try to stand my ground. Of course, as the great Eric Burdon once sang, I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh, Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. Emailer writes, hi, Common. The fact that you're talking about it is proof that the protests are working. Raising awareness, promoting discussion, the first step in sparking change. Well, okay, it's the first step. Is it always an effective step? We've been protesting human rights violations around the globe for decades and decades and decades and decades and decades. Do I need to stop? And we still have human rights violations happening to this day. Protesting. If I were to take a knee, let's say I go to the Lions game this Sunday, Lions-Vikings, and I think for a lot of people, they feel better about themselves. So let's say I'm at the game in the stands and I take a knee. People look at me, why is he kneeling? Oh, he's kneeling because of police brutality. And I get him, gosh, show it, everybody. Now I'll go back to my house after the game and I'll just go sit down and watch on TV and see if change happened. That worked, didn't it?
Well, I don't think we can expect just immediate change either. I mean,
no, you're right, because we haven't had it for in human rights violations in decades, in decades, in decades, in decades. Remember when Rodney King, were you around when he...
Yes.
Got beat to a pulp. Don't you think that would have been right there enough to go, whoa, looks like some black people are being mistreated by the police. Well, that's, don't need to protest that. You just saw that on TV. I went, whoa. They acquitted all those officers, if I'm not mistaken. I don't remember exactly. It's been so long. I don't know. Here's one that says, it's funny, everyone says, well, I agree with what you're protesting, but I don't agree with the way they're going about it. Well, I don't know what everybody else says. I didn't say that. I just said, I don't know if the way you're doing it's if it's effective. I said at the end of the last break, I said, if that's the way you want to protest, if you think that's going to bring the proper attention to it and going to help elicit change, then knock yourself out. I think getting your hands dirty like the Miami players did is a better effective way to actually go in there and get into the neighborhoods. A lot of these kids get into situations because trouble's happening, and I'm not taking, we know that there have been black men that have been gunned down by the police, and the police officer, for whatever reason, felt his life was in danger, and we found out a lot of these black men were not even armed. Well, go into the neighborhoods and find out what the problem is. Give these kids some hope in these neighborhoods. That's what they need, is some hope. They don't need football players kneeling. I mean, it says Tenor B. I like Tenor B. Tenor B asked you how you quantify how the kneeling is effective, and you conveniently glossed over his question and didn't answer it. Well, here's how we measure how effective it is. If one police officer watched the game on Sunday, saw all these kneeling protesters decide to not unjustly kill another black kid and claim fear for my life, that means it's effective. Let me ask Superfly, who's a guy this. Do you think there was one police officer that watched the protest yesterday and said, well, I'm not going to unjustly gun down a black kid now because of all these people kneeling? I think most of these police officers don't think they unjustly killed somebody in most cases. the racist cops that have gunned down black kids because they're black? I got to think there have been. But I don't know if they're, I don't know if they're doing it, if they're saying, boy, you know what? I'm not going to unjustly shoot a black kid now. I don't think that happened yesterday, watching the protests. As a matter of fact, the only reason the protests got back on the front page was because of the president. If you want to do anything, he's getting criticized. If you think that the kneeling is going to help, then you should actually be praising the president of the United States. Because I don't know what you think, Tenneby, but I think the kneeling of the protest thing had kind of lost its steam.
It had, yes.
I don't think anybody had talked about it anymore. It
definitely picked back up.
And it picked back up, and that was because of the president. It would, cause,
well, and I almost feel like the vibe of the protest changed because of that, too. I think before it was police brutality. I think yesterday was more of a protest of Trump and calling them SSOBs.
Well, that's
and,
it.
And pretty much almost like a freedom of speech thing more so than...
That's a very good point.
I don't think yesterday was all for police brutality.
That's exactly right. I think that's a very good point that might be lost in all this. That's a very good point, is that people aren't even thinking about what they were protesting with the kneeling. They were thinking about, we can protest in any way we want. You can't tell me and don't call my mom the B word. Just don't call her that. Here's an email. It says, I think Trump's statement was not smart and certainly not well articulated. I don't agree with what those players are doing, but I accept that they are and don't really care. But Goodell implied in his statement that disrespecting the NFL and its players was somehow worse than players, according to some perspectives, disrespecting the anthem, flag, and country. Certainly if you believe players have a right to disrespect the country, anyone has a right to disrespect the NFL and its players. Using that idea in a statement, trying to argue that it's acceptable to protest the flag and anthem is tone deaf and arguably arrogant. I think I understand what he's trying to say, and I think I kind of might agree. Sort of, kind of, if I think of what he's trying to say. But, I mean, there are a lot of... there are a lot of different opinions.
It's a polarizing topic.
It's very polarizing.
With passion on both sides.
It's controversial. And for me, I want to make my view perfectly clear. All I'm saying is, I just don't think kneeling during the national anthem is a very effective way to get your protest message across. I just don't think it is. I may be wrong. You can call in or email in and protest my protest that I don't think the protest is effective. I just don't think it's been effective to this point. I don't. Matter of fact, the guy brings up, Superfly brings up the, we tried to close down highways, we've tried to do this, we've tried to do that, so nothing worked. That's my point, nothing's working. I don't think that's the way it changes. I think it has to be on the ground. Here's a phone call from Ben. Ben, you're on the fan. Ben, you're on the fan.
Ben,
you're on the fan.
Can you hear me? Okay, hey, Common. It's Ben. My wife's a big fan, and I listen to you quite a bit as well, but I wanted to reach out. I think you're wrong on the protest, because, again, you know, they've got a platform that someone kneeling in the stands just doesn't. They're in front of millions of people. Millions of people are talking about it. No protests fix everything overnight, but now you've got things like body cameras and stuff like that that are popping up in the news and in legislation, and people are going to vote differently based on what they're seeing right now. So it's not an instant change, but it's definitely a change.
So you're going to give Kaepernick, you're going to give the kneelers all the credit for this then? Okay.
No, but they get some of it.
Okay. How about this? I just got this email sent to me. It says, according to FBI statistics, police killed more whites than they did blacks in 2017.
Absolutely.
Not a single player kneeled over on that. Hundreds of black men were killed in Chicago last year. Not a single player knelt for that. These protests aren't about black lives or deflection from having to explain why there's an epidemic of blacks killing other blacks. That's what an emailer just sent me. What do you think of that?
I disagree. I think it's about how black people are treated in society. And just because white people have it bad as well doesn't mean that it's disproportionately affecting the black community. And yes, there are...
What do you think of the black men in Chicago killing other black men? I mean, the scores of them. There's hundreds and hundreds.
I think it's a completely separate issue that people use to change the conversation when they want to, instead of talking about how black people are treated differently in this country.
Okay.
Separate issues. Chicago's parts of Chicago are slums that have been, I suppose, blight for years and years and years. But I don't know. I think there's it's a separate issue. Common, I love you.
Thanks.
Have a good rest of your
appreciate
day.
Appreciate that. Thanks. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not even agreeing with the email. I'm just saying that's the email that was sent to me. Here's another. Common, I don't think, this is talking about Raj and the owners, Roger Goodell. I don't think they have a strong moral position when the Washington Redskins are still a team's name. Can't really claim the moral high ground. That's another opinion. See? That's another opinion. It's another issue. And that's another issue entirely. That's another one I talked about on the pregame show yesterday when I was on with Barrero and Moss, where I did find it interesting that the president weighs in on kneeling during the national anthem by NFL players, yet when his predecessor weighed in on the use of the Washington Redskins nickname, he tweeted out, "President should just leave sports alone." Here's a phone call from Kyle. Kyle, you're next on the fan.
Yeah. I was hearing you talk about the emailer called in about the statistics of the FBI. Well, yes, more white males are killed because there's a ton more white males in America, and African Americans are actually killed at a rate by police 3 times more. There's less African Americans, but they're shot just as many times as the white males who are. We have a huge, way bigger population of
right
in America. Also, we talk about black-on-black crime a lot, but that statistic is a good deflection because white-on-white crime is just as high as black-on-black crime. Predominantly, people of the same color kill each other at the same rate in each race. Those statistics, when people throw that, it's usually a deflection because there's something deeper there. And I just wanted to say that because
okay.
I heard the statistics and I was like, nah.
Okay. Thanks for the call. Yeah, see, I don't know. I was reading the email. Like I said, I don't know if the statistics the emailer was saying is true or not. I don't know that. Here's a phone call from Ryan. Ryan, you're on the fan. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I would like to directly rebut the last caller.
Okay.
Because, yes, it is a higher percentage rate, but every time these guys say that they're fighting racism, what they are actually doing is throwing up a smokescreen that keeps us from actually addressing what is causing these things. Let me give you a basic example. If every one of these players said, working on me this weekend to make sure every cop in America has a body camera next weekend, they might accomplish something. If they said, we're going to take a knee this weekend to end the 1994 crime bill in VAWA, which built the largest standing prison population and probably enslaved more innocent African-American men than were ever enslaved during slavery, they might accomplish something. If they stand up and say, basically, F white people, F America, F Trump, all you're doing is covering up our ability to have a real conversation to address the real cause of these problems. They are making it worse and impossible to actually address. Thank you all. It's enough.
Thanks for the phone call. There's another opinion. See what we have next. Calls in the order in which we received. Not a lot of time left. Lenny, you're on the fan. Thanks for calling. Lenny, you're on the fan. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you, Lenny?
I'm doing good. Say, the thing about taking the knee and stuff, we put our military out there with flags to go to these, and it is a ceremony for the flag and for our country and stuff like that. And this goes back to when we were in school, pledging allegiance to the flag. It goes down to the very core of our being in this country. And to dishonor the military, which it is dishonoring, because you got military members out there. We fly military jets and stuff over these activities all the time. I think it's just a disgrace that they would even think about doing that. There's no place for that in sports.
Okay, Lenny.
In anything as far as on a stage, I don't understand.
All right, thanks, Lenny. Appreciate the phone call. Well, again, I understand what he's saying, and I can understand why people have that. But I don't think, and I don't know because I'm not in the heads of each of the players that's kneeling, but I don't think they're kneeling because they're saying, I don't like this country, don't like the military, and I'm going to thumb my nose at those of you who put your lives on the line for the U.S. military. I think they believe that because so much attention is paid during the national anthem, everybody's supposed to stand, put their hands over their heart,